I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the OMG MotoGP podcast, and welcome back to Extra. Actually, it's our first Extra for the 2024 season, where you can catch up on all the latest MotoGP news along with a preview to this weekend's season opener in Qatar. I'm your host, Renita Vermeulen, filling in for Harry Benjamin, and joining me today is the one, the only, Mr. Keith Hewan. Welcome back to Extra.
Good to see you, Renita. Good to do our first one together, and looking forward to it. I bet we don't keep it to 20 minutes like Harry keeps telling us to.
Yeah, we've got strict guidelines, guys, so we have to stay within 20 minutes, but we like to have a chat. But let's not hold back then. So winter break is officially over, testing is done, and round one is here with Pecco Bagnaia beginning his title defense in the desert. Keith, let's chat all about the Qatar GP.
Yeah, I mean, Qatar, it's 20th year in Qatar. I can't believe it. There's a 75th anniversary of MotoGP since 1949 in the Isle of Man. So we've been going a few years. There's no doubt about that. It feels like I've been at every one of them. But 20th year in Qatar, but it's the ever-changing Qatar. I mean, if you ask me for the insider's guide to Qatar this year, I couldn't tell you because we're not there, obviously. It is an absolute, it's an unbelievable place. It changes every single year. The road network to get to it has changed over the last 20 years. It used to be in the middle of the desert, and I mean a long way out of the city. But now it's all part of the city. It almost all rolls into one. And they've completely revamped the track. Lusail is, you know, not the track, the infrastructure around the track. All the buildings are different. The paddock's different. It's much, much bigger and better than it's ever been. But the usual issue is sand blows across the track. They've got a, you know, they've got kit like you've never seen before that blows all the sand out of it. But you've still got that problem initially. You remember in testing, they were miles off the pace early on. The track was quite a difficult track. It's also the hardest braking track of the year. I can't remember what, I've got the Brembo sheet here in front of me because as good broadcasters, we do our prep. And Brembo always send out the sheets for every single racetrack that we always get. I think you can log on for it as well. I'll look that up next time, actually, and so that everyone at home can sort it out. Brakes are needed on 13 of the 16 corners, you know. Information like that is invaluable. But it's the highest value of the season, I think, is the important phrase that comes across on that. It's the hardest braking place. Which bikes have got the best brakes? Well, they're all pretty much within the same nowadays. I mean, Brad Binder told me recently that the KTM used to excel on brakes. It was something that was particularly good. But Ducati have always been good in a straight line on the brakes as well. It's going to be an interesting start to the year. There's no doubt about it. Who's going to have the advantage? If you look over the longer runs from the test, Jorge Martin is looking top of the tree on that front. Digi's there as well, remember. Grassini, now, I mean, they've had back-to-back wins there. It was Digi's first ever win in MotoGP. He won last year before that, Bastianini the year before. So Grassini have got good form here on their Ducati, which obviously bodes rather well for the likes of a certain Marc Marquez. Who knows? The first one of the year.
I'm so excited to see Marc Marquez debut finally on this Gresini. Like, the hype leading up to this first race of the 24th season has been unbelievable, and I just can't wait for Friday practice.
Well, I mean, the other side to that as well is, of course, Pedro Acosta. You know, it's his first Grand Prix. I mean, first MotoGP, I should say. But didn't he get on with the bike straight away in testing? You know, you talk to some of the riders and they kind of just shrug it off. Yeah, well, yeah, we expected that. But I don't think they did. I don't think anybody did, that he'd get on it within a few laps, be as quick as he was. And be, I think the point being, in particularly in Valencia, when we first saw him in Valencia, was how he was right. Turn 13 of Valencia, which is that tricky up and over the hill. You're on the throttle and then you've got to transit onto the front to get it to the bottom gear, left-hander, hairpin onto the front straight. I mean, just that bit alone does my brain in, you know, that he was drifting across the top of it. I mean, just, you know, most of us have ridden motorbikes, but blimey, to get on with one as quickly as that, he's going to be something, the force to be reckoned with. He really will be.
Do you think with Pedro, it's going to take him a couple of races to get used to this, or do you think from the gate he's just going to be fast?
I just think he's going to be fast. I mean, I think he's already pretty much proved that. It's kind of one of them ones where he won't be pushing his luck. He won't be doing, you know, I hope he won't be pushing his luck in the early rounds, because the last thing you need to pick up with a long season is injury. That's the bit that really messes up your season. And this year, what have we got? 21 rounds, 17 countries we're going to. It shows you how many is in Spain, because you can only count them so many times. But it's kind of... He's got an old head on a young, talented body. So will Qatar, well, it depends how it falls for him. You know, he might feel the grip, feel the force and get on with it in Qatar. We'll wait and see. I mean, certainly he's on a motorbike that seems to work around there. So let's see. But it is Jorge Martin at the moment that we've got to watch out for. Sprint races, he's the king of sprints. If he can convert that on the Sunday as well for the main race, Jorge Martin might be the man to beat. But, you know, we always say that. Bagnaia is like the silent assassin. You want to write him off. Not write him off, but you know what I mean. You want to put him back a little. But he always comes up with the goods. He always has thought about it. You know, race day, he's always there or thereabouts. And that's how you win titles. So Bagnaia's got to start the season as a favourite. But I don't think it's going to be as easy as that to say with 21 rounds.
I think this year for Jorge Martin, it's going to be all the lessons that he learned from last year. He was fighting, obviously, right up until the end, made a few silly mistakes, maybe let his emotions get in the way. I feel like this year we're going to see a whole new Jorge Martin.
I think you're absolutely right. I think maturity, you know, there's a certain sweet spot racing motorbikes, or probably in all sports, there's a certain sweet spot that you first of all, you start off with raw talent and everyone notices the raw talent, you win races and all the rest of it. Then you've got that period where it swaps into maturity, where you actually think a bit more than just rely on the way that you can ride a motorbike. Once you get to that point, you're a weapon. And I think that's what happened to Bagnaia, and I think the same with Martin, it'll happen with Jorge Martin. I mean, bearing in mind, I had a quick look at the sheets this morning. You got to remember that there was only 14 points between them at the end of last year, until we had that sort of rejig in the points system where they amended them the next day because there were various penalties and stuff that came out. So he wasn't that bloody far off last year if we avoid the penalty situation. And that, of course, is going to be an issue this year as well as we move through the year. What is going to interfere with the final points tally? Hopefully, not much.
Hopefully. But even look at Brad Binder's end of season last year. There was those mistakes that he made with the track limits or whatnot. And look at what that happened. So, well, that cost him, sorry. So are we going to see another replay of that? Or do you think things are just going to calm down a bit?
They're never going to calm down because everybody's within thousands of a second. I've been campaigning for a fourth decimal place for some time because this always amuses me, and I'm sorry to go on about age, but it is quite an amusing thing. Obviously, we're moving on. You know, back in the day, they measured Grand Prix to a tenth of a second. Then they came out with the outrageous idea of a hundredth of a second. Then we got to a thousandth of a second. Well, I reckon we ought to be on the fourth decimal place nowadays, because quite often you will see two or even three riders, I think there has been, that have absolutely to a thousandth of a second equal time, and the only way they split them is by the guy who did it first gets that position. So I reckon we're working towards 10,000ths of a second fairly soon. Don't know whether the timekeepers can keep up with that kind of stuff, but it's gone a long way. It's funny, Daytona is this weekend, and the Daytona 200 is this weekend. And I remember when they used to sit there with stopwatches and little old ladies with pencils writing it down. I think they might have progressed a little bit since then. And they used to call themselves the World Center of Racing. Have you ever rung Daytona? Ring their switchboard. It's quite funny. Everybody do it. It will jam it. You ring them up and they go, World Center of Racing. Really? Sorry.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. All right. Well, look, let's catch up on all the latest news that's happening this week in MotoGP as we head into Qatar. Keith, what goss have you got for us?
Well, I think that I struggle a bit with gossip because it's the time of the year. It's the time of the year where, I mean, in the old days, you say when the flag drops, the bullshit stops. But nowadays, the lights go out, so it's a bit different. But it's kind of one of those situations where we've seen testing. Concessions are something that I'm really interested in this year, whether Yamaha and Honda can haul themselves back up the order with the concessions that they have as two teams. I mean, again, Brad Binder said to us on OMG that, he hopes that Yamaha and Honda manage to pull it off. And I think, we've seen some great races from Honda here. I mean, who can remember the Dovizioso versus Marc Marquez final victory corner, it's called here, isn't it? That's Victory Corner. What am I thinking about? It's another track altogether. But it's one of those situations where they've battled away right to the flag. And Honda used to be right in it. But nowadays, you think to yourself, are they going to be able to make their way back? So I think my interest is whether Yamaha and Honda manage to get beyond their PR speak, whether they manage to make that happen, particularly for Yamaha. I think that we hear all the positive vibes from them verbally, but we're yet to see, a step that they need to make. And again, Binder, he said that KTM have made, quite a nice little step this year in all departments, but he said everyone else has as well, which is what it's all about. And we're only going to see that when we get to proper racing, because that's the only thing that sorts the men from the boys and the bikes that are going to work. I think that Aprilia are going to be somewhere thereabouts. I mean, Miguel Oliveira, Rael Fernandez, these, suddenly they've got good bikes under them and equal machinery to the factory team side of things. So that for me is an interesting as well. But back to the rumor mill, I kind of avoid that, Renita, just because it is literally just that. It's kind of a rumor mill, and it's people's hopes rather than reality quite often.
Yeah, I know. But in some actual legit news, we're still not sure if Franco Morbidelli is going to be racing this weekend. He is traveling to Qatar or is there already, but he's going to have to do a fitness check on Thursday to see, because the doctor's saying if he gets another concussion, obviously that's not good for him in his career. So it's a horrible start for Franco. He's trying to turn that new page in his book, trying to start fresh with the new manufacturer, and this is what's happening.
Disaster. Franco Morbidelli, I've said it times before, if he was in the queue when I was catching an aeroplane, I'd be looking for another one because he has such bad luck. I wouldn't want to be on the same plane as him. It's literally, you just think that he's so deserved. He is such a talented rider and such a talented man. He so deserves a crack at it, but it just doesn't seem to happen. I mean, and you can't force it in this situation. If he starts the season, injured, yeah, his performances. This will be his last year in MotoGP if he doesn't make it work. That is for certain.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I mean, it's not because he doesn't have the talent. It's just he doesn't have the luck. And I never rely on luck normally. I just don't believe in it as much. You make your own luck. But he just seems to be the unluckiest man when it comes to injury that's riding nowadays. So we wish him well. Hopefully he'll pass the fitness test. Hopefully. Passing the fitness test is actually easy. I mean, honestly, if you can touch your nose and stand on one leg and do one press up, pretty much you get away with it. It's a bone of contention for me, actually, and one or two others. You know, we've all had head injuries. I don't know whether your brother has, but I certainly have had a clout on the head a few times. Mind you, talking to your brother, he probably has had a clout on the head. But the point being is that we laugh about it, but it ain't bloody funny because it catches up on you later in life. And I think that head injury is something that I've sort of quietly behind the scenes campaigned about because I don't think MotoGP consider it enough. I think that we don't have the kind of... We do have protocols, but not strict enough protocols, I believe. Hopefully that will be enhanced. We had a medical conference in Lyon recently in the FIM, and hopefully they will have discussed such matters at that time. There's things like gum shields that you get in rugby. I think they have the gum shields that have got a little chip in them. So if you've had a big old smack, it's not even down to you. They don't retro check it. They don't let download the data. The data's instantaneous. It goes up, you know, somebody's already reading the data. So if you've had a massive clash and you've decelerated by whatever it is they deem as being unhealthy, you're pulled off the pitch. And I believe we should have those gum shields. I believe or in helmet. Yeah, if you don't want gum shields, it should be it's only a chip, it's the tiniest chip that can give us the indication that you've decelerated at a point. Concussion is not even about being knocked out. You can be fully conscious but have suffered a concussion of some kind. And once you've had one or two of these things on the trot, you're in the danger zone. And I think medically we as a sport, we can't afford to end up with that a bit further down the road. You know, it needs sorting now. So I'm slightly surprised that with the technology that we've got nowadays, that, mind you, we might only end up with half the field out there if that's the case, because they're all a bit of headbangers.
Yes, there's a lot of crashes that can happen, right?
It's true.
Oh, so leading into this year, I know we just want to go back to Honda for a second, because you were talking about how all the manufacturers seem to have progressed so much. I was reading earlier, Honda have progressed 1.1 seconds faster than last year in Qatar. But compared to every other manufacturer on the grid, everybody else has progressed that plus more. So I want to hear where you think Honda's going to go with this first race in Qatar. Obviously, Luca Marini's first ride with Repsol Honda on the factory team. Johan Mertz, not his first rodeo here. How do you think they're going to go?
It's a fresh start for Honda, and they definitely deserved it. I think the problem we've got is that we don't do enough testing in the winter. All of that's gone now. Test sessions and the like have been restricted massively. And that's bad when you're trying to catch up. Funding and test time are the two things that get you back on the map. And I think that Honda, certainly got the funding, but they haven't got the test time. So the concession period, so they can change stuff during the first part of the year. Again, it's been another, if you go back over these OMG, podcasts, or even go back to the crash ones that we did before, I was always campaigning for the homologation to cut off 2, 3, 4 Grand Prix into the year. And effectively, that's what we're getting now. They have the opportunity to use these concessions to bring them back into play. You know, cutting off when it used to start at Qatar, and the second we get to Qatar, that is your bike. You know, or rather the engine and the bits and pieces that are performing, that is it once we got to Qatar. But now it's not. For those who are at the bottom of the list in the concession list, Yamaha and Honda have got lots more things that they can do, and they will be able to test those during the course of the early part of the year. I believe Honda will make a comeback. I'm not convinced of Yamaha yet. I certainly don't think Yamaha I don't think resource-wise, Yamaha are quite pumping it up. I mean, they seem to be saying the game, playing the game, as in verbally. You know, Eric Desains and co from the European side of things have been building up fairly well. But you've only got to look, Quartararo, you know, has his moments on track, but it's going to be down at the end of the day to what happens in a race. Yamaha have always been in a position where you've got two bikes going down the straight. You know, the Ducati has got more grunt. It gets underneath the Yamaha, messes up the bit that Yamaha are really good at, turn in and the middle part of the corner. So you've got no chance if you're on a slower bike. Well, they seem to have got a bit of performance in a straight line going now. We'll see. This, again, Qatar is one of those tracks where you'll notice it. Let's see where we go with that. But I think Honda will make a comeback. Did our man Harry actually predict that a Honda was going to win a race this year? I seem to remember that somewhere along the lines in our bold predictions that we all did the other day, I think Harry actually predicted that a Honda was going to win a race.
Was that with Marini?
I think it might have been Marini, yeah, that he predicted
to
do
watch it. Harry, if you're listening, yeah, we're going to hold you to this.
Mind you, he's from Four Wheels. He, yeah.
We won't hold that against him, though, will we?
We will. Always, constantly.
So, okay. Well, let's have a look at Qatar this weekend. Obviously, it wasn't that long ago that we were there. We were only in there in November. Normally, like you said, it is at the beginning of the season, but they did push it back. So we were there in November last year, and it was an interesting race because, like you said, Digia took his first MotoGP win. That was so cool. He was on the Gresini machine back then. Luca Marini, who was also on a Ducati machine back then, took pole position. Fastest lap was completed by Andrea Bastianini during the race. And then the sprint and Sunday's main event, total Ducati dominance. Keith, are we going to see a repeat of that this year, do you think?
Well, you wouldn't bet against it with too much money, would you, at the end of the day? It just depends. It depends on how the track evolves during the weekend. I mean, you go from, again, night race. It's the only night race we have, of course. You go from testing, practicing in the afternoon when the sun's going down to the point where the lights come on. The temperature changes, of course. You know, there's a couple of turns on the track where, you know, you've seen the face plants that you get. I think it's turn four, is it? I can't remember which one it is. It might be turn six, actually, thinking about it. I'll have to check it. But, you know, straight line crashes with front tyres cooling off have been an issue. Yeah, there's actually so much to look forward to when you think about it this weekend across the board. I mean, Moto 3 and Moto 2 for the first time are running Pirellis. You know,
yep.
The big question mark there is, you know, how many lap records are Pirelli going to break? They're going to be giving, you know, Dunlop have notoriously given fairly hard tyres for longevity and consistency over the year. But Pirelli are going to be looking to try and break every lap record that Dunlop ever had just so they can mark that up on their little PR board. So it's interesting on so many fronts for this weekend. But can we bet against a Ducati? No, I don't think we can. I think Ducati have pretty much got it sorted. But the great thing about MotoGP at the moment, we don't know, because Aprilia are there or thereabouts. You mentioned Binder earlier on. You know, he finished fourth in the championship last year with a few mistakes, which he quite, you know, voluntarily holds his hands up to. You know, it's about precision throughout the season this year. Who is going to be able to keep that momentum going without making those mistakes? And that's what wins world championships. That's why Bagnaia is where he is.
Oh, 100%. You can see it. But on that note, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Well, not really, because Harry kind of told us to do this. What are your predictions for this weekend? Your sprint, your first 1, 2, and 3 in sprint, and your Grand Prix predictions.
Oh. Do you know what? I hate these, and therefore I hate Harry for bringing them up. It's got to be Jorge Martin for the sprint. He is the sprint champion, if you like. So I'm going to go with Jorge Martin for the sprint. I want to go with Marc Marquez.
I know.
It's just, I'm still not convinced that his arm is right. I'm still not convinced that he's. I just feel still that. I mean, they've played it down and he's going to be fast and all the rest of it, but I'm still not convinced his arm is right. So I perhaps won't go with him. Bastianini. Well, cool. Left of field. There you go. Bastianini for the main race. I mean, I shouldn't go there. I like a sporting bet. Too obvious. Bagnaia is obviously the one for it. Or hey, Martin for the double, maybe. But I'm going to have a Bastianini, each way.
I like it. To be honest, I wasn't far off, but Ducati dominance, right? I had Martin for the sprint win, Pecco in second, and I put Marc Marquez in third purely because I feel like this year he's coming out with something to prove. I feel like he said, you know, guitar's not my strength. I feel like that's just going to go out the window. But could be wrong. Could be wrong. And then for the Grand Prix.
It's a great thing, MotoGP. You can be wrong every minute of every day. So what's Harry predicted?
He actually hasn't given it to me yet, so we're gonna have to hit him up for this. And guys, if you are listening, I want to know your predictions as well. But before I finish, I want to do my Grand Prix. I put Pecco to win, Martin in second. I actually did Bastianini for third because I feel like he's so strong here. So that was my predictions. But yes, guys, if you are listening, let us know your thoughts. You might have seen it on the stories on socials lately as well. So let us know who you think is going to win this weekend.
And don't forget to subscribe and like. We are going big on subscribe and like. There's so much on our platform at the moment, isn't there? I mean, we're really very lucky. We've had Sam and Alex Lowe's down the pub. They've been good fun. We've had Brad Binder who's spoken to us, if you've not caught up with that yet. We've got some real good ones coming up as well. We've got Ben Spees coming up soon as well. We'll put that out just before the start of the, I was going to say the AMA, that's showing me age again, Moto America series when that goes out. Ben's always an interesting guy to talk to. So we're lining up some really good guys to come and speak with us here on OMG. And of course, Renita is working away too. You've actually been going for it just lately. Loving all the stuff you've been putting up on the platform. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. I love it. It's been so good working with you guys. And obviously, I love MotoGP. And I was such a fan of the podcast before we connected and everything. So it's just been an absolute honor for me to come on board with you guys. But anyway, I'm going to stop, fluffing you all up, getting you all excited, because we're actually going to be back Monday. Monday night, we're going to record the post-race interview, well, post-race podcast with yourself. So yes, like Keith said, please, guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, get in touch with us. You can find us on all the social media platforms at OMG MotoGP, or you can email us a question to omgmotogp@gmail.com. But Keith, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And guys, we'll be back after the Qatar GP to look back at the season opener.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.